Today on Real Life Radio.
Can God's word heal a broken soul? Yes. Absolutely yes. And if it were not so, many of us would get up and leave this building tonight. Yes, he does. Thank God he does.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, continues a series called The Why Series. As Christians, we all know that truthful answers are pretty much hard to come by these days, and that's especially true if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found right there in the pages of Scripture. So, if we are made in the image of God like the Bible says, and we are, why as human beings then do we struggle so much? How can we take control of our thought life or get a hold of our emotions? When sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, life suddenly went terribly wrong. But the good news is, our minds can be renewed. Now, if we were made to glorify God, which we were, then it is possible to enjoy our lives with Him. So on this part of the message today, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our minds are so brilliant, and if we don't occupy our thoughts with the Word of God, not only does the past come back to haunt us, but so do the dark images from which we were rescued. We need to keep fighting and keep washing our minds with God's Word and with His promises. And now in his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Right now, you and I, listen, right now you and I are below the angels. That's what it says in the Bible. He has made us a little lower than the angels, but there's going to be a day when the Lord will crown us with glory. And the Bible says that we as redeemed humans will someday judge the angels. Wow, are we going to have a mind change? But you think right now about the woundedness and the hurt that happens when a child is tampered with. And I'm telling you, I've told you before, Jesus said that it's better for a person to have never been born that has offended a child than in the day of judgment. God takes that seriously. Why? Because it tampers bad enough the body. It tampers with the human soul of that child. And many people today are bearing the scars of being molested and being tampered with. And Mike, listen, my statement, my question is deliberate and sarcastic at the same time. Can God's word heal a broken soul?
Yes.
Absolutely yes. And if it were not so, many of us would get up and leave this building tonight. Yes, he does. Thank God he does. I was never molested. I was never tampered with like that. But physical abuse and other types of things, absolutely. Let me tell you. God can heal. Because listen, when you are little and when you are defenseless and when you are helpless and you are defrauded like that, your mind goes into a defense mode. And you grow up young, very often angry, hurt, violent. Watch out for violence and aggression in young children. There's some that's normal. But some that's unexplainable, watch out. You and I live in an age you can't trust anybody unless you know them very well. Can't trust anybody. Oh, we met some nice people and we're going to have a sleepover. You don't know them. You don't know them. Isn't it sad? We live in an age that is so dangerous. Besides, you know what? Oh, they're Christians. They're Christians. You can stay over at their house. You don't know what they watch on TV. You say, what are you making a big deal about it? Boy, that's legalistic. Listen, I am not being legal. I am all about liberty to be free from abuse. That's what I'm for. And listen, children process things differently. They need to be protected. Their innocence need to be protected. But you might be here tonight saying, well, Pastor Jack, I wasn't protected. Nobody protected me. And I'm dealing with this stuff. Listen, God's mercy and God's grace toward you, you have no idea how huge it is. Don't count yourself out. Don't let yourself go down into a pit of depression. You heard about that man who it all started with depression, and it led to the fact that he began to believe that he didn't even exist, that he was in fact dead. But when you're hurt that deep inside, don't you wish you were dead to have that hurt? And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ has the power to absolutely renew and transform your mind. He does it, and he's going to keep doing it. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, listen, it's time for us to hear this, the obvious. In Romans 8, verse 5, the Bible says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh." You got it? Everybody get that? If you live for this world, you're going to be thinking only about the stuff of this world. If you live for pleasure, that's all you think about is pleasure. You just line your crib with pleasure. That's all that you think about. That's what Paul's talking about in Romans 8, 5. Those who live for the flesh, to satisfy the flesh, just mark that. But for those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there's a choice. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. The word carnally minded is earthly minded, flesh, skin minded. It's to live for that. Now look, God made you and I with the ability to appreciate pleasure. Aren't you glad for that? That's wonderful. Be it food, you know, I gotta tell you, those of you who are young, you know when you're young, you're picky about food. Let me tell you right now, stop wasting your time. Go for it. Because I'm telling you right now, when you get older, everything tastes good. I'm grateful to God that he gave us the ability to taste the things that we taste. But when that is handled wrongly, it gets out of control. You can become a glutton. You can eat and eat and eat for pleasure's sake, throw up, and then eat and eat and eat because you are addicted to the sensation that your taste buds are giving you to the brain of taste. That's sick. But when people are doing it, they don't think it's sick. Because they've gone through the steps so long and so deep that it's become ingrained in their minds to the point where you don't even see it anymore. You don't even realize it anymore. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity, warfare against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. A carnally mind that's given over to the passions of the flesh is an out of control mind. And I don't know, and I cannot speak for you. I came to Jesus at the age of 19, but my mind was in that place. And because my mind was in that place of being carnally minded, I lived, planned, made allotments for carnally minded living. That's the lost soul. That's the lost mind. It is God's desire. He wants to transform our minds by the power of the Word of God, and that's what he does. And when I heard the gospel for the first time, it began to unlock God's love to me, God's forgiveness. But of course, as I told you last week, it also exposed my depravity and how bad I needed God. Let's take another verse in 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 12 to 14, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 14. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this is the unsaved man with the unsaved mind, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I want to, in light of that, I want you to hear this tonight. Your mind tonight, whatever, if tonight you're a victim of abuse, maybe tonight you're here and you were the abuser. You need to know something right now. By and through the gift of faith and repentance given by God, you ask him for it. Your conduct as an abuser can be forgiven, and God can give you a new mind. He can give you a new life. He can forgive you and get you starting over. If you're a victim, if you've been abused, God wants you to have a new mind regarding the way that you view things. Data comes to you, it could be words. You know, listen, when you're abused and somebody then tells you later on in life, "I think you're beautiful, I love you." They don't hear it like you think. When somebody who really loves somebody else and they've experienced that hurt and that abuse, because the mind is still held captive. And you say, "But Jack, I love the Lord, and you're describing me, but I love the Lord." Listen, I understand that. Just know this, he wants to set you completely free. He doesn't set you kind of free. He doesn't get one leg out of the trap and leave the other one. He wants to renew your mind. And he wants to have you understand something, that God is at work, and he's going to take that damage and that attack and that hurt that has been perpetrated against you, and he's going to clear up your thinking by the power of his word. As you immerse yourself in his word and believe his promises, when he says to you, "I'll make all things new," you're a new creation. You say, "But Jack, I struggle every morning. I wake up and I'm reminded of this." Absolutely. I understand. You keep going back to his promises and you hang on to those promises and you say, "Lord, I don't feel it. I'm not getting it, but your word says I'm new in Christ. Your Bible tells me that you will renew my mind in Christ Jesus, and I'm asking you to do that now, God." And you might say, "I've prayed that 1,000 times. Then listen, you keep praying it 1,000 times more. You just keep doing it because, listen, he will change you and set you free. And again, if you're the perpetrator, he will change you if you repent and seek him. Just turn to him. Our minds can be changed, thank God. God reprograms our minds. I know that you're here tonight, and I know I joke around, and sometimes I say, "Don't tell anybody this," when there's a bunch of people watching. So I say that to put a fence around myself right now when I say, if God had not rescued me out of my lifestyle at the pathetic age of 19, I probably would not have lived long. I was given over to such promiscuity. And I can tell you when it started. I was about 9 years old. We were playing army. That's all we did all the time. We played army, and back in those days, we had firecrackers and M80s. Kids knew how to be kids in those days. Let me tell you something. We blew stuff up, and it was beautiful. And we were playing army, and we had all the gear, and all the guys in the street were all doing stuff all the time, all summer long. And I remember I was in the fourth grade, heading to the fifth grade. And we were hiding out. We were going to, of course, shoot all of our, you know, the one team was against the other team. We were getting ready to shoot our buddies. They're about ready to come around the corner. And you guys do know I'm not saying really shooting them, you know. And right there, we're like, "Okay, shoot, quiet. And right there in Bobby's garage, his dad had a box of Playboy magazines. I didn't know what that was. None of us did. And you, listen, look down, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. It's like, what? No, really, it's like, well, not right. Curiosity, what? What is that? And you open, in an instant, I was changed forever. I never looked at a woman the same from that second forward, ever. Ruined. Literally ruined. Never saw a woman's face after that. Men will relate to what I'm saying, women will not, I don't think. From that moment on, it didn't matter if the woman walking down the street had clothes on or not. It was irrelevant. You could see right through. Power of imagination released into a child at a young age is absolutely dangerous. And that fire began to burn, and if it wasn't for the power of the gospel of Jesus, I tell you all that to tell you this. When I met Lisa, and we were dating, I remember we were coming home from the beach one time. It was the middle of the daytime, coming home from the beach. I had literally, listen, this is how powerful it is. All the guys in here are going to deny it. They're all lying to you. Ladies, I'm telling you right now. We're at a stoplight. And that poor guy on the screen we saw a moment ago was alive but denied his existence. I was alive, and I had just forgotten that my girlfriend and I were in a conversation. And there's a girl walking across the sidewalk, crosswalk. And I looked, I'm a Christian now, I looked immediately from childhood, the ability to see through, all the power is there, and it happened in a nanosecond of time. I forgot Lisa was sitting next to me. And I did what I did after I became a Christian, and those pictures would flash in my mind after becoming a Christian. I would take my fist and I would punch my head as hard as I could because I hated those images that had been put into my mind that I allowed in of all these exploits that I'd been involved in. All I had to do was close my eyes for a second. And they all came back. The time, the place, the smell of the air, everything came back in technicolor, and I hated it. And I remember punching my head, and I don't remember what she said, but I remember catching myself, and she's there, and she was just mortified, and I began to tell her what I'm telling you right now. That was my immature way of trying to handle my flesh, knowing that the past was wrong, and I hated it, and I was a new creation in Christ, and I couldn't wait to get out of it. Let me tell you, hallelujah, glory be to God, 42 years as a Christian, pornography has never been a problem for me, nor has that world. But here's the thing. If I were to relax my mind for 5 seconds, and this is the key to all of us tonight, if I relaxed my mind, all those images come back. Why? Because the brain is that brilliant. It not only brings up beautiful sunsets and wonderful remembrances of your puppy and of your little parakeet you used to have. Everything's in there from the moment you began to acquire data. It's all here. All of it. Here's the thing. Is that the time? Here's the deal. If you don't brainwash, mind wash, listen, your mind, if you do not occupy your mind with the word, listen, the past will come back. That's why Paul the Apostle said, you need, Christian, to reckon the old man dead. You know what that means? Every time that stuff comes up, I'm describing me. You've got your thing that comes up and you hate it. The Christian fights it. It's tough. But listen, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It's absolute victory in Jesus. God, listen, to the men I say, don't give up. Keep fighting. Fight. Women, I've never been a woman, don't plan on ever being one, so I don't know what to say to you. To you, I don't know. Maybe it's words, maybe it's memories, or this person, oh, I'm happily married, and everything's great, but I remember back then when so-and-so said this, and he was that way, and oh, the romance of, maybe that's it. Don't think about it. When the thought arises, grab it and cast it over to Jesus. Constantly fight it. Fight. Today, listen, many are not fighting. They're not fighting. They're giving up. There are so many Christians in a state of depression because the world has gotten inside and is hammering. And this poor man you saw on the screen began to deny his own life's existence. Maybe Satan is saying to you, has God said that you're his child? Did God say that you were saved? How do you know God told you your sins were forgiven? Why would he forgive you anyway? You know what you are. It wouldn't be heaven if you were there. And he begins to sow the seed. Listen, Christian. Washed, as the Bible tells us. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that the husband is to wash his wife with the water of the washing of the Word of God. Amen. You know that? Speak God's love, God's truth, God's healing, God's word over your wife. Well, how about your own life? How about your kids? How about your situation? Is this true? Lord, you know everything about me. And you know all the things that trip me up, or you know the things that I just cannot get victory over. Lord, I'm asking you right now. You, Lord, have pointed out to me those things are traps. I know it's your will that I be set free. You put it in your book. I'm asking you now, God, to do a miracle in my life. Can we just close our eyes and pray right now, every one of us right now? Can we just agree? Lord, I'm asking you right now to do a miracle in my life and the lives of these here tonight. I'm asking you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that thing that is on the tip of our tongue, that image or that pain, that hurt, that abuse, that issue that's just behind our eyes. Lord, we're asking in Jesus' name that you would descend by the power of your Holy Spirit and set free this captive. Tonight, God, I have to say, I love you. I have to say, you alone have the words of eternal life. I have to say that I'm not going anywhere. I have to say, I agree with your word. And so, God, I know that it's your will that I be set free from this situation or these situations that have ravaged my life. And I ask you now, Lord, to heal me, to start tonight, and to move powerfully in my life. Because I want to be rid of this.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life, a process we can logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, there's a website resource that you can click on right now. It's the tab at our website called Know God. So why is that so important to you? Well, this resource answers the most critical question of life: where do we go when we die? God designed us to live on past this world, and because he loves us so much, he wants us to live forever with him. But we've been separated from God through sin, and that should have ended our chance for heaven. But the good news is, God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have eternal life forever with him. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab labeled Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God, and that's at jackhibbs.com. We're sure that you'll find the answers to your future that you've been searching for. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.